Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Wednesday night again. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. It's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God on tonight to give a word from God. I pray that each and every one of you had a wonderful week, and that the things and the desires of your heart that God was able to deliver. You know, this is the last day of the program for the month of November, and we'll enter into December, which is the last month of the year. And it's so amazing how time flies and how we come back week after week to explore the Word of God together. I want you to know that because you take time out of your busy schedule, God is pleased. Because there's so many things going on in the world, and everyone say they are always so busy. But, you know, when you really look at the things of God, God made days, and days have 24 hours. It's the same 24 hours that's been 24 hours from the beginning of time. But the amazing thing to me is when people in these days say they don't have time, you know, long time ago, if you were building something, you didn't have electric tools, and yet they got the building done, and they done it right, and they did it in a timely manner. You know, we have microwaves, and people don't have to stay in and slave over the stove, but no one have time to cook. It's amazing how, you know, we have computers that we have information at our fingertips. We have the Word of God on tablets. We have the Word of God on the TV. We have the Word of God almost every way you could look. And yet people say they don't have time. But it's just the world we live in. But I want to encourage you tonight to find time for whatever is important to you, because time is running out. Our lesson for tonight is coming from the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to expound on the third chapter, the entire third chapter. And as always, I'm going to play a song, and I thought the song was so appropriate for tonight because the title of the song is The Only Way. And as we studied a lesson, and if you took time out of your schedule to read the text that I sent out to you to read, you would understand why the song fits the message. So I'm going to play the song, and after that, we'll go to the throne of grace in prayer, and then we'll expound on the lesson. I thank each and every one of you for calling in tonight and continually call so that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm going to play the song now, and I'll be back. And if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. Listen to the music and be blessed.
Everywhere that I go, I must tell everyone of the Savior I know.
Only Way by Yolanda Adams. It's amazing that the scripture lets us know that Jesus is the only way, yet other people, some people, do all sorts of things and figure they pleasing God, the way they want to do it is all right. But I come to tell you tonight that you are not afforded the privilege to have it your way, to do it your way, and not give yourself to him and expect all of him for yourself. Jesus is the only way. So if someone would like to pray, you can press the one button on your phone at this time. I'll open the mic. And we'll go to the throne of grace together, because when someone is praying, you should really be, you know, praying along with them and being attentive to what they're saying. So if anyone would like to pray, please press the one button on your phone. Caller, your number is 504-430-48. Your mic is open.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Dear God, we come to you once again with thanksgiving. We thank you, Heavenly Father, first of all, for who you are. We thank you, dear God, for your unconditional love, for your mercy, for your grace. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your favor upon our Wednesday night Bible study, where we can come together, dear God, and hear a word from you. As we go forward tonight, dear God, we ask that our minds will be open, that you will give us wisdom and understanding to understand what your word is coming to us tonight and how we might apply it to our lives. Dear God, I just want to thank you for the anointed woman that you've put over our Wednesday night Bible study. Thank you for her, dear God, who comes to us every Wednesday. And we know, dear God, it's only because of you. We ask, dear God, that we just take her in. We ask that you take care of her, dear God. Continue to strengthen her, that she will come every week with us. We ask that we be willing to accept, be open, dear God, to not only hear what she has to say, but that we will share it with others. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, and thank God.
Well, thank you so much for that beautiful prayer, Sister Brown, Sister Joyce. Thank you so much, and thank you for the prayers that you lifted up towards me to God. Thank you so much, and be blessed. That was our prayer. Hallelujah. And now we're going to go and expound on the Word of God. For those who have your Bible, I pray that you have it turned to the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're in the third chapter. The title of our lesson is, I'm Saved, Now What? I'm Saved, Now What? You know, that's a question everybody should ask themselves, because once you got saved, we were all babes in Christ. We didn't have a lot of wisdom, understanding, or knowledge of the things of God. But once you became saved, you should ask the question, now what? And then when you find the answer to that, you should be embracing it. Otherwise, you're saved, and once you got saved, where you were is probably still where you are today. And that's not the intention of God. Because in the book of 2 Peter, the third chapter and the 18th verse, the scripture says, and Peter encourages us to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We didn't get saved to stay where we were. We got saved that we can grow in the things of God. So the title of our lesson is, I'm Saved, Now What? Our background tonight is short because I wanted to paint you a picture of the city of Corinth and the Corinthian people. You know, Paul is the writer of the book of Corinthians, and Paul is the writer of the book of Corinthians, and the people that lived in Corinth, or the Corinthians in the city where they live, is Corinth. You see, in Paul's days, Corinthians. Hold on 1 minute. My studio is not opening up. I got it back. Hold on. Okay, I'm back. So in Paul's days, Corinth was a large city. It had more than 600,000 people that lived there. There were many Greeks, Jews, and Romans in Corinth. Corinth was a very rich city. It was well located and therefore became a great city of trade and business. Corinth was also a very wicked city. Very wicked. There were pagan temples. That's where Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of sex and love, was worshipped. 1,000 women prostituted, sold their bodies, gave the money to the temple's treasurer. Ain't nothing new under the sun. And that was the way that they worshiped the God, by bringing them the money they made from prostituting. The people in Corinth was also well known for their sins, that it was considered an insult to call someone a Corinthian. No one wanted to be called by that name because it was a catch to so much sin. it's almost like New Orleans, and you know, when Katrina came, and everybody said, oh, New Orleans, Sin City, and you know, we were being punished by God and all of these type of things. But we learned that it wasn't a punishment from God, because they're having devastation all around the world. So what about them? But religiously, the city had every type of cult that a society could bring to it. The depravity of Corinth was also known and reflected the need for spiritual change. It was also known as the seaman's paradise, and it was called a moral cesspool. Easy women roamed the street, and the atmosphere was so polluted with the alluring constant sin. This city furnished some of the background for the catalog of man's sin in the book of Romans. So in your spare time, if you go to the book of Romans, the first chapter, the 18th to the 32nd verse, you'll see where Paul in the book of Romans is describing those sins. And it's amazing. They say this city furnished some of the background for a catalog of man's sin. That was pretty sinful. So with me, you know, giving you the background on this, I want you to be able to, when we read the story and see how Paul is talking to them, what their environment looked like and what they were up against as children of God, and what was the culture, and how did the people react and do certain things. You know, there was a trade city. So, you know, trade came in everywhere, and anywhere they got a port, all kind of things go on because all kind of people are coming into the place. So if we look at the 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. And the scripture reads, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envyings, strife and division. Are you not carnal and walk as men?" That's what Paul told them. And they were upset about it because, you know, they thought they was real smart. And they, you know, trying to say, why are you talking to us like this? But you see, the church in Corinth was in trouble. They were divided. They were very, very immature. They were abusing the sacraments, spiritual gifts, and taking advantage of each other. There was division, envyings, and strife. The Apostle Paul had founded this church earlier from the book of Acts, but he had to leave. And then he hears from some people that the young church was struggling, and that's what caused him to write this letter. Here we see Paul is talking to the Christians. And you say, how you know that, Sister Diane? Because he called them brethren. So he's not talking about the unsaved people in the town. He's talking to the Christians. They were not able to receive the spiritual things of God because they were carnal. I want to let you know tonight that carnal means that you operate in the flesh and not in the spirit, and you are considered to be fleshly. So plenty of times people say you can't be a carnal Christian can Christians be carnal? But I want to tell you, the Bible is absolutely clear that no one is sinless. 1 John 1:8 says, we say we have no sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Every time we sin, we are acting carnal. You know, the carnality deals in the flesh. It's not in your spirit. That's why there's a constant war going on daily between the flesh and the spirit. And I tell you tonight that sometimes the flesh wins and sometimes the spirit wins. But you see, we have to continue to press. No, we cannot be as Christ, sinless, but we should use and strive to sin a little less each day. Paul said that he had to feed them with milk as babes because they were not able to digest meat because there was no foundation. You see, they was hearers of the word, but they didn't fully understand it. So they were not doers of the word. And some of them may even understood the word, like some of us do. But you know, we have a tendency to do it our way and expect God to accept it. You really do it, you know, because, and then they figure it's all right because God is so merciful and so kind and so gracious towards us that they feel what they're doing is all right because the wrath of God haven't fell on them. But they are really blessings in being obedient, and you'll never know who you are until you know who your maker is. And when you sit down and realize all that God has done for you, you should want to do and be better towards him. You see, they were doing everything that seemed right in their own eyes. They was mixing the flesh with the spirit. If you are a true Christian, you may have carnal moments, but not a carnal lifestyle. Whatever you feed, remember, that's what's going to grow. And if we look at the scriptures from 4, 5, 6, and 7, all the way down to verse 17, the scripture read as follows. So after Paul told him, I'm feeding you with milk because you can't understand the deep things of God. You know, you got saved, you didn't study the word, you didn't pray to God, you didn't ask God to help you. You wasn't trying to be obedient. You was just having your way. And besides that, in the fourth verse, he say, while one say, I am of Paul, and another say, I am of Apollo. He say, that in itself let me know you're carnal. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But minister by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. God has his people in place to give the word. He gives to every man, the scriptures say. And then Paul in verse 6 says, I have planted. Apollo watered, but God gave the increase. 7, so then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watered, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planted and he that watered are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husband. Ye are God's building. See, we are laborers, and it's not just for Paul and Apollo. This is talking about us. We should be laborers because the Bible say that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And Paul is saying that no one is better than the other because God has no respect to person. Paul had a job. Apollo had a job. You have a job. I have a job. We are God's building, the scriptures say. And verse 10 said, according to the grace of which God has given unto us, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another built thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon. 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Just like the song said tonight, Jesus is the only way. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon a foundation of gold, silver, and precious stone, and the scripture says wood, hay, and stubbles. So he's saying, what are you building upon? Gold, silver, or precious stones, which you know is solid and is strong. But he said that others probably build on wood, hay, and stubbles. So you know the ones that's built with gold, silver, and precious stone is going to last. But, you know, the wood is going to deteriorate. The hay is going to fade, and the stubbles is going to pass away. He said you got to watch what you're building upon. You know, watch what you're building upon, he's saying in the scripture. They say every man's work shall be manifested. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You know, there's going to be a time when we are judged. And we know that if we are Christian, we won't go to the great white throne judgment seat, because the Christian is going to be left the earth rim, the dead in Christ, as well as the ones living with the rapture when Jesus comes. And when we go to that judgment seat, it's not going to judge if you saved or not saved. It's going to judge your works. And that's where the scripture points out that everybody should be, you know, trying to work so when you meet Jesus face to face, that he can tell you, my good and faithful servant, well done. Paul was telling him, yes, I'm a master builder. I laid the foundation, but another one built upon it. But I am nothing without God. If any man's work abide, which he has built upon, he shall receive a reward. 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he will suffer loss. But watch this. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So when someone is saved, I'm saved, now what? And if you were truly saved, if you truly gave your life to God, your salvation is secured. What Paul say? You know, what they did may be burnt up in the fire, but them themselves will be saved. But, you know, how you want to go before God after he has given you life and then you have nothing to show? Because you have salvation, your living won't be in vain. But you wouldn't carry over anything into eternity. Because you know what they say, only what you do for Christ will last. So whatever we're spending our time, our energy, our money on day after day after day doing, chasing, and doing these things, you know, that's not gonna go over into eternity. You know, it's going to be like, you know, when Jesus said, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I needed somewhere to stay, you know, when I was in prison, did you come and see me? These are the things that's going to carry over. If any man's work abide which he has built it upon, the things that you're doing in this life, you shall receive a reward. If any man work shall be burned, he should suffer loss, but he himself would be saved. So let's not get it twisted. If you're truly saved, your salvation can't be taken away. And, you know, when you look at God, with just take the little ordinary thing of sowing and reaping, you're going to only receive what you sow. So God is going to receive you in eternal life, but how your life here on earth turns out, it depends on what you do and what you don't do. And many people go around thinking they have it all figured out and they have great success, you know, and they're all right. And they begin to believe that I'm the one that created this. I'm the one that made this happen. But you see, there will come a time when you're going to need something more than you. You're going to need a solid rock to hold on to. And I tell you tonight that that rock is Jesus. You know, sometime when things go on in our life and late in the midnight hour, you know, when all hell is broke loose and we just don't know what to do, and we could say Jesus, and then a calm and peace could come over us. See, you need more than just you. Plenty of people say, I'm a self-made man, I'm a self-made woman, nobody helped me, nobody, you know, did nothing for me. So I did it all by myself, but you couldn't do it without God. Because if God don't give you breath, you wouldn't be living. You wouldn't be able to go to a job if you didn't have your health and your strength. And the wisdom that God has bestowed on some of us, it helps us to figure out things in a situation. And for that, we should give him the praise, the honor, and the glory which we were created for, God's glory. And then verse 16 say, know ye not that we are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in us? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? That's the scripture. That's not dying. I'm not asking that question. That's in the scripture, in the St. James, King James Version of the Bible. It says, what temple are you? You see, plenty of this lesson tonight was talking about the division in the church. They were choosing who they thought was the real deal. Because Paul had founded the church, he planted the seed of the word, the gospel message, in the people's heart, the message of salvation. So those people placed their faith in Paul and his message. They accepted, believed, and received, and became saved. But they kind of left it there instead of saying, but what now, and receive Apollo with his message. Come on now. God didn't leave him stuck out being saved. He turned around after Paul planted the seed. He turned around and sent Apollo to water it. You see, God sent Apollo, a Jew described as elegant, watered the word. Because he was mighty in the scripture, fervent in the spirit, and instructed in the way of the Lord. So some put their faith in Apollo because they liked the way he talked. And they liked the way he taught. You see, Apollo was instructed them how to grow stronger in faith and the grace that had been bestowed upon them. See, God has something for you to do, something for someone else to do. The Bible tells us that all who accept Christ as their Savior become one body, the body of Christ. And the body has many members, and each one has an intended purpose. And we get a glimpse of Paul's in this book here of Corinthians, and we see Apollo. You see, Paul uses this scripture to let us know the messengers, rather ministers, teachers, preachers, evangelists, or other leaders sharing the word of God are only men and women. He let them know that he and Apollo was one. One wasn't higher than the other one. One wasn't lower than the other one. Both of them received their gift from God, and both of them was just being a servant. Paul founded the church, and Apollos built on the foundation. Tragically, the believers in Corinth had split, and they began to be loyal to different teachers. You see, this reminds me of when the pastor is not going to be at church sometime because he's out of town or whatever. Certain people is not going to come to church as if they can only get a message from the pastor. Some people say, I don't like the way he talk. I don't like the way he preach. I don't like the way he look. I don't like the way he sound. But remember, God uses everything for you. God has everything in place that you need. There's a scripture where God used a donkey to tell a man what to do. And if God could use a donkey, he could surely use a man, because a donkey doesn't have a soul and a man does. Everything is not for everybody. Every church ain't for everybody. That's why they got so many. But sometimes you could receive something from somewhere or someone you didn't think you was going to receive it, because that's just the way God planned it. So be careful as, you know, being so, you know, picky and choosy all the time. You know, go and receive. And all of them are workers of God. Paul let them know that he and Apollo was one. Paul founded the church. Apollo built on it. This reminds me of many things that people do and people say about one another in a division in a church, and the gossip and the envy and the strife and the jealousness. You know, it was happening here in Corinthians, and it had to be over 2,000 years, because it's been 2,000 years since Christ in Corinthians. Christ had died, and Paul was trying to let them know. The book of Corinthians is after the book of Romans, and before Romans it's the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is when Jesus left, the Holy Ghost was let go, and the churches was formed. And we now live in a church age. So this had to be 2,000 years ago. And the way those people was acting in Corinth is the same way some people act in church. We got to grow up. We have to grow up. And we keep getting the word all the time from here, there, and everywhere. And yet we decide to handle it the way we want them. Some plant, some water, but God give the increase. And this was really exciting to me when I read this, because one thing I always tell you guys, I tell you that I can only give information, but it's the Holy Spirit that give illumination and revelation. Paul and Apollos was only given the information, and the Holy Ghost was given illumination and revelation. You see, once the preacher work is completed, God aids Christians to grow in God aids the Christian to grow in grace and a knowledge of God. Our leaders should be respected, but you should not place them on a pedestal that creates division and make you take your eyes off of God, the one that gives the increase. Stop putting your faith in the messenger, but put your faith in the message. And the one that gave the message, which is God, not the messenger. You know, I often say when I teach, you know, that the Holy Ghost, we ask the Holy Ghost to have his way. We ask the Holy Ghost to not to let the word return void. We ask the Holy Ghost to have his way. Because that's what we should do. No one other than Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. The apostles were not the authors of your faith and religion, though they was authorizing, qualified to reveal, spread, and promote. They act in this office as God gave to every man, and each one will be judged. Be judged by their work. Hallelujah. These Corinthians were saved, but not maturing or growing in the things of God. Ask yourself the question, have you learned more about God today than you knew 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 1 year ago? Even in our churches today, there are many who still need to be fed as babes. And I encourage you to remember the parable of the sower. You know, with the parable of the sower, it's saying what you do with the word once you receive it. You know, if you have your heart stony and cold, you know, the seed's not going to penetrate. The word ain't going to penetrate. And they use an analogy of the birds eating, and then some go and fall between the weeds and the weed choking. And some people are so concerned about the daily activities and money and making money and a job and impressing people till, you know, it just the word just can't take place. But they say that the word fall on solid ground. It grows, it nurtures, and it matures the person that receives it. And verse 18 through 23 said, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And 20, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise. They are vain, sheer vanity. You know what Solomon talked all the time. Solomon had it all, did it all, seen it all, was it all. And at the end of the day, he said it was all vanity. And only when you put your trust in God, you're going to have peace. King Solomon. Verse 21 says, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. This was interesting to me. They say, 22 say, rather Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, are things present, are things to come. The scriptures say are all yours. and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. Again, I'll tell you, only the things you do for Christ will last. All other things will be, as the scripture told us, burn in a fire. Paul is saying it is all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, that I have laid the foundation and another built on it. Don't get it twisted. If there is no solid foundation, the building can't stand. Christ is the solid rock. Christ is the solid rock, the chief cornerstone. Matthew 21:42 said, Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected? Talking about Jesus now, y'all. The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You see, Jesus became the cornerstone, the foundation that all of this is built upon. But they rejected him. But he became the cornerstone, and he laid a great foundation. You see, in the Old Testament, God gave the people temples. But in the New Testament, we are the temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwells within us. You see, to have an high opinion of your own wisdom is but to flatter ourselves. Come on, y'all. And it's really self-flattery. And is next step to self-deceit, pride, boasting. You see, the wisdom that godly men esteem is foolishness with God. The scriptures tell us that. How justly does he despise, and how easy can he baffle and confound it? You think you got it going on. You think you're sane. You think you're so wise. You think you're doing it all. And God just look at you. You see, the thought of the wisest men in the world have vanity, weakness, folly in them. All this should teach us to be humble and make us willing to be taught of God so as not to be led away by pretenses to human wisdom and skills, and be taken away from the simple truth revealed by Christ. Some of us don't even have the simplest truth revealed by Christ. If you're not studying the Word, you're not going to the Bible study, you're not fellowshipping, you know, in church, you just probably don't have it. But God loves you. And I want to tell you, wherever you are right now is where you're supposed to be. But it has nothing to do with where God want to take you to. And I want to let each and every one of you know, you know, sometimes you say, well, then I can read and I can study. You could do all of that, and that's good for you. But don't think you do that and, you know, God's got to do something. It's not like that, because I tell you tonight, God could not love you any more than he loves you right now, no matter what state you're in. God loved you before you even knew him. You see, while you were yet wheeling and dealing in your sin, Jesus came and died for you. Now, that's love. You see, mankind is very apt to oppose the design and the mercies of God. They fight it. It ain't all that ain't necessary. You don't have to do that. You know, you don't. How you get to make it up? How do you get to make it up? The world itself is ours. The Bible said, the earth is the Lord, the fullness therein, the world and everything that dwell in. Jesus made this for you guys. And if you never pick up a Bible and if you never go to Bible study and you did accept Christ with your whole heart, you are saved. Saints have as much of it as infinite wisdom seems to fit for them. God has sent out enough wisdom for everybody, enough wisdom that seems to fit for them. The more you know, the more you can receive. And they have it with divine blessing as fit for them. So you have to see, you know, if you're creating a thing that you could be fit for more, that you could have more divine blessings. You see, life is yours that you may have a season, an opportunity to prepare for the life of heaven. See, God gave us life so we could use this time on earth to prepare for the life we're going to live in heaven. He wants to see what you're working with and what you did for him lately. And what you're going to take from this side to that side, because I told you, only the things you do for Christ is going to last and going to follow you in eternity. I want to let you know the scripture says debt is yours, that you may go to possess to you. Debt is yours, that you may go to the possession of it. We can't get to the other side unless we die, y'all. Everybody want to go to heaven, but they don't want to die, but debt is inevitable. So they say debt is ours, that we may go to the possession of it. We can go to debt. You see, it is the kind of message you take from sin and sorrow and to guide you to your Father's house. You see, and the scripture went on to say, things present are yours. Things present are yours for your support. Your support on the road. Things to come are yours to delight you forever at your journey's end. Hallelujah. If we belong to Christ and are true to him, all good belongs to us. Didn't he say, I'm going to work it all out together for your good? And it's sure that it's going to happen for us. Believers are the subject of his kingdom. We in this world, we not of this world, we in the kingdom of God. And just trying to learn and grow and study more is to, you know, like I say these days, I want to be a better citizen. I want to be a better citizen in the kingdom. One time, you know, when I got saved and didn't say now what and wasn't doing the things of God, then I was just in the kingdom. I wasn't a good citizen. But I want to do things in the kingdom that God wants us to do. You see, he is our Lord over us. We must own his dominion and do it righteously. Can someone see and know you in the kingdom, or they know you out the kingdom? You in the world, or are you in the kingdom? Do your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify the Father? Do you represent your Lord, Savior, and Master in the kingdom, or when you be in the world? We should cheerfully submit to his command. And as I close tonight, I want you to know that God in Christ is reconciling a sinful world to him and pouring his riches of his grace on a reconciled world. And with that being said, I want you to know that that is the sum and the substance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Learn of him and live. That's our program for tonight. If anyone would like to add or make a comment, add to it, take away from it, You can't do it at this time. And let me tell you why I picked this program. Plenty of times people ask me, Sister Diane, how do you pick all of these programs and why? Well, of course, I try to be led by the Spirit, and the Spirit will put things in your way during your travels in a day. And I was at a hospital seeing a lady, and her daughter was there, and we fellowship in the Word of God together. And when I was fixing to leave it, you know, I just like I do you guys, I said we need to pray, and I told her that she could pray. She said, oh, no, I can't do that. And, you know, I don't be trying to put people on the spot. So I told her, all right, but then she wanted to explain why. She wasn't ashamed of God, because the Bible said if you're ashamed of God, God's going to be ashamed of you. She said, but I don't feel qualified to pray in front of a woman of God. And immediately the scripture came about Apollo and Paul came in my mind, and that's how I decided to use this for tonight. But she said that, and you know, we sat down, and I had a long conversation with her, you know, letting her know, you know, the prayer that God gave her is for her, and it's a good prayer. You know, she decided to pray, and it was an excellent prayer. And, you know, since then she's called me and told me how glad she was that she prayed, because she had never done it. And she's a Christian, and she's been on the battlefield for a long time. And I would say, you know, she's as faithful as she can be. But yet that area, you know, she wasn't comfortable with. But, you know, I didn't tell her this, but it's really a trick of the trick of Satan to tell you you're not good enough. You're not, you know, you can't pray. That lady gonna know, she know the word, and you don't. I always tell y'all, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, and you know, I don't know everything, and I know I don't. And it's just like with Paul and Apollo. With me, it's all just by God's grace. So you never know where someone is or what someone needs. And each one of you, I tell all my students, you are only being taught that you may teach. God say, go out and make disciples. And that's our job. But that's the program for the night is now. 8:30, but we still have time. Like I always say, if someone want to say something, someone want to lead us out in prayer, someone want to add to the lesson, someone want to make a comment, someone need prayer, then the scripture just told us everything in the world is for us. God has provided everything we need to live a righteous life. That's why I like to say we live in a dispensation of time of no excuses. You're not going to be able to go before God and tell him why you didn't. There will not be a why you didn't that could hold any truth when it comes to dealing with God. God say, I'm doing it. I'm giving it freely. It's up to you to receive it. So if that's it for tonight, I'm going to do a benediction for us to leave out with tonight. Thank you, caller, for your beautiful prayer that you did earlier. And I encourage others to pray as well as God lead them. And I'm going to do a benediction that I think is appropriate for this lesson. And I say it all the time, but it is my desire that each and every one of us, talking about me too, because the Bible said we all fall short. We all sin. And if you say you don't sin, you're fooling yourself. But it's my desire that we all grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is our program for tonight. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet back on next Monday, which will be in the month of December. and it looked like only yesterday when we started in January. Hallelujah. So to each and every one of you, it's time to say good night. Be prayerful for our Wednesday night Bible study. Be prayerful for one another. Let God use you. All of us have work to do. One body, many members. So with that being said, I can say good night. God be with you until we meet again. Glory be to God, from whom all of our blessings flow. Good night.